Good morning, my dear friends. It is wonderful to be gathered in our Father's house once again, to be around the one who loves us. In fact, he loves us so much that his name for us, one of his names for us, is Beloved. The loved ones. That's how God thinks of you. And it's why we're able to be in his house today, because in that at the right time, he sent Jesus into this world, and Jesus came willingly, suffered and died for our sins so that we can be redeemed. And the Spirit then worked through this incredible gift of baptism to bring us into this faith, into this family, into his people, and made us his beloved. And so as we remember this morning, let us begin our service remembering the day that we were brought into the family of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for your patience with us. I thank you for the many ways that you do love us, for the kindness that you pour out upon us. And this day, Lord, I pray that we would be able to reflect upon that, reflect upon your character, reflect upon what it is that you are doing in and through us. All this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now, let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me. And so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Good morning. I hope all of you had an extra hour of sleep last night. The first reading is from 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God, yet hates his brother or sister, is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister, brother and sister, whom they have seen, cannot love God, whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord, is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching in the temple courts, he asked, "Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet.' And David himself calls him Lord. How then can he be his son?" The large crowd listened to him with delight. At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
What is a lawyer? Okay, a lawyer is somebody who deals with laws. You know another name for law? Is commandment. Do we have a lot of commandments? We have 10 commandments that we're supposed to memorize, right? Okay. This lawyer came to Jesus and he asked, he said, "Which is the greatest of all the commandments?" Which one do you think is the greatest? Do you remember what the pastor just read? The first commandment? Okay. And that is to do what?
Basically, keep the Sabbath day holy. Do not misuse the name of your God and only one God.
Okay, the first three commandments, really, isn't it? Yeah, the most important commandments. To love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. That's an awful lot of love, isn't it? To love with all your heart, that's kind of an emotional love, isn't it? Do you feel the love for Jesus, knowing that he took away your badness and gave you his goodness? Do you know that's what Jesus did? He took away your badness and gave you his goodness. That's a very important lesson. Can you repeat it after me? He gave me his goodness and took away my badness. Can you say that with me? He took away my badness and gave me his goodness. We will need to remember that always about Jesus. And then to know and to feel that love for him. Also, that we love him with our soul. Because the soul lives with God forever and ever. And our soul lives with him because he took away our badness and gave us his goodness. And so we will live with God forever in heaven, our soul will. Is that good news? So do you love Jesus because he took away your badness and gave you his goodness? So you can live with God forever and ever in heaven? So your soul will live with him? And we love him with what? Our whole mind. What's the mind? What is the mind? Is that the brain? Yeah. And what we fill our brain with? The Bible. As we study the Bible, we get to know God more and more. And the more we get to know of Him, the more we come to appreciate that He took away our badness and gave us His goodness so we can live with Him forever and ever and ever in heaven. That's good news. And so we want to fill our mind with the Bible and all we can about God so we can appreciate Him and love Him all the more, and to love Him with all our strength, that we love Him more than anything else, that we love Him more than we love our mom, that we love Him more than we love our dad, we love Him more than we love our grandparents, we love Him more than we love our toys or food, we love Him more than we love pizza or tacos. Yeah, we love God more than anything, with all our strength. And whenever we feel ourselves slipping, feel something else being more important to us than God, then we go to God saying, God, help me. I'm slipping. Strengthen my love for You. And God is there for us because He took away our badness and gave us His goodness so that we can live with Him forever and ever in heaven. Now, what is the second greatest commandment? Who can tell me? The second is like the first, but it's different. The second is we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor that you love just as much as you love yourself? It could be your mom and your dad, your brothers and sisters, your grandma and grandpa. It can be your teachers. Whoever needs to know Jesus, whoever needs to know that Jesus took away their badness and gave them His goodness, they're our neighbors, and they need to hear what Jesus did for them. And so let us pray. Fold your hands. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank You very much for sending Jesus to live for us and to die for us, earning for us the goodness of God and the forgiveness of sins. Thank You, God, for taking away our badness and giving us His goodness so we can live with You forever and ever. Amen.
All right, children, it's now time for a little worship so you guys can meet. Oh, look at that. It's Mrs. Landgraf in the center aisle, and you guys will be taken away to little worship, and parents, they will be brought back. All right. The rest of us, let us open the Word of God today and to see what He has for us and for our lives. Interesting. Today's passage is about a scribe, a teacher of the law, somebody who is a lawyer, you know, somebody who is trying to explain God's law to the people, right? And this is kind of a unique case because this was one scribe that was not coming trying to trip Jesus up. He actually was coming. He came because he was listening to Jesus answering questions of people who were trying to trip Jesus up. And he heard that Jesus gave really good answers to these difficult questions. And so I think he just had a difficult question of his own, and he wanted to check his own work and make sure that he was in the right place and thinking the right way. And so he comes to Jesus and he asks Jesus a very, very basic, fundamental question. And the question is this: which is the greatest commandment? All right? Now, this is a very, how can I say, academic type of a question, right? Because this guy wasn't thinking, well, what is the greatest commandment? As in, like, if I cover that one, I've covered enough. He wasn't thinking like that. But he was thinking, you know, how do I understand God and God's will? What is most important to this God that I love? What is the thing that God cares the very most about. How can I properly understand this God that I love? And he comes to Jesus and he says, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus gave a very simple answer to a very simple question. He said, the answer he gave was something that the Jewish people said all the time when they visited the temple. It was this great expression that God gave his people all the way back in Exodus when the law was given to the people of Israel. And he said this, he recited this thing called the Shema. And the Shema, I mean, it's funny how in ancient times it seems like they just named things whatever the first word of the sentence was, right? So we call the creed, because guess what word it starts with? Credo, right? Yeah, I believe, right? Yeah, so Shema, guess what the first word in the Shema was? Which is hear, listen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Right. This is how Jesus answered the question. Well, is that a fairly safe answer for Jesus? I mean, answering with the expression that we talk every time we come to the temple, is the safest of answers. But the safety was only in its simplicity. The safety was not in its meaning. It's like this. Do you love God? Do you? Excellent. Be confident. You love God, right? But do we love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do we? This is tough, right? Loving God with our heart, that's probably the easiest one to understand, because that's kind of the meaning of the word love for us these days, right? This emotional outpouring of gratefulness and thanksgiving for what God has done for us. But do we do it all the time? I mean, like on bad days, when God takes blessings away, right? You know, when the car doesn't start and you're already late for work. Is that when you say, Lord, I love you? And that doesn't even get into the next one, which is talking about loving God with our life, our soul. That thing that makes us, you know, the creation of God, the one that in which in God breathed the breath of life and man became a living soul, right? That part of you that lasts forever, that part of you that is eternal, and you're supposed to love God with all of that. Two, which means you are completely and 100% God's property, given over to him and his purposes for everything in your life and eternity. You get this? So is there any limits here yet? I mean, not at all, right? Then it's the next one, your understanding that you're going to belong to God, that you are going to submit yourself to God, that you are going to love God with your understanding, which means, think about what that means, how deep that goes. That means that our perceptions in life will be flavored and explained, submitted to God's perceptions. We will see things through his lens. That when we see the world, we will see it as God sees it. How much scripture study is this going to take? I mean, how are we going to understand how God sees the world, right? Unless we are really just immersed in this book of Revelation of God's will and God's love and God's, the things that God detests, these things we need to know and know deeply and know well, because otherwise we can't love God with our understanding, because we just simply won't understand. So, I mean, here's the thing. When I say, do you love God? Are we becoming a little less certain? You see what I'm saying? And then we say we love God with our strength. All of our strength. Which means this. Is it going to be hard to love God with our life? I mean, is it going to be hard to love God with everything we do, everything we say, every interaction, everything, every decision? Is it going to be hard to understand God's will and to be able to submit our will to his so that we can love him with our understanding? Is it going to be easy to do this? Will there be times when you think you have it right, and then the Holy Spirit takes you on another journey through Scripture, and you realize that what you thought you understood, you didn't understand yet, but now the Holy Spirit is revealing to you something even better and deeper so that you can now better, maybe a little bit better, submit yourself to his understanding and love him with all your mind? You understand how this works? This is going to be hard, and you are going to want to say, enough, I quit, I don't want to do this anymore. This isn't as much fun as watching YouTube. But God tells us that we are to love him with all of our strength, which means there is no give up. That when, if you still have any kick in you, you will apply said kick to understanding God and to understanding his word and to loving the things that he loves and hating the things that he hates, because he is God and he has done so much for me, and I want to live my life for him. And there is no moderation in this. My wife tries to teach me about moderation. Men, if there is steak, you eat steak. I don't care how many ounces are in it. Your manhood is at stake here, guys. You know what I'm saying? How this is? And I was actually told I wasn't a complete man by my father-in-law once because I only ate 3 ears of corn. You know, I mean, it's like, I get it. This is how it is, right? I mean, we understand the concept of wanting to you know, of the commitment, but what God is asking us here is for full and complete commitment. That there is nothing left out of this incredible love for God that this text is talking about. The first commandment is this, that you will love God. You will love him with everything that God created when he made you. You will love him with your abilities. You will love him with your intellect. You will love him with your heart. You will love him with your emotions. You will love him with your effort. You will love him with your hands. You will love him with your feet. You will love him with everything that makes you you. That is the standard. Well, then what does that look like, right? I mean, does it mean that We could fill in all kinds of stuff there, right? I mean, if we're going to be creative about what it means to love God, we could say, well, I guess we have to become like monks, give away, you know, sell everything that we have, give the money to the poor, and go live in a monastery where we live on bread and water and pray all day long. And I guess that would be a good way to love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, right? Is this how we're supposed to love God? This is the cool thing about Jesus, is that every once in a while, he answers more questions than we ask. And this is one of those situations, right? Because what did the scribe ask Jesus? What is the greatest commandment? How many commandments did the scribe ask for? How many commandments did Jesus give him? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your... Guys, here, this is the thing. Loving God is great. Loving God is what it's all about. Being in a relationship with the God who loves you so fiercely is truly the absolute center and the most important part of our walk and our relationship with him. But walking with God and having a relationship with him, professing faith, living out his stuff, being in his word all the time, all of these things will mean nothing if that word is not making a difference in your life. Because here's the thing. One of the things, you want to love God with all your heart? You want to have your heart following the things that God's heart is following? You want to be in sync with the emotions of God? Then what are you going to think about the people that live in this world? Is it possible to say, I love the Lord with all my heart, but I hate the people? You see the disconnect here, right? The God who says my name is love. The God who left heaven and suffered on this earth because he loved you and every single person on this earth like you. That God says, I want you to be in loving sync with me. I want you to love the things I love. And the thing I love more than absolutely anything else in all of my creation is these amazing people that I created that have now fallen into sin. And oh my goodness, their lives are a mess. And I get it. They're difficult. They're hard to put up with. They don't make good choices. They can be hurtful and vengeful and mean. I mean, even when you're trying to help them, sometimes they'll bite the hand that feeds. That's not just an expression. I mean, it's just truly amazing how hard it can be to love people. Tell Jesus all about it. When Jesus came to save us from our sin, while he was in the act of paying the price of redemption, the people he was dying for were mocking him. And he still did it. He finished the job. And in the middle of it, he prayed for them, saying, Father, forgive them. His love never dimmed. Say nothing of quit. And this is the love that we are called to. That we would love our God with all our heart, with all our emotion, with all our life, with everything that we do and everything that's about us, you know, everything that we're good at, all the things that God created when he created you, all of those, we use those to love God. And that means that when we have abilities, when we have something that somebody else needs, we give it. We share it. If you've got it, you've got it to share. God kind of tells us a little bit about this. He says, you know, if anybody who's been a thief, they should steal no longer, but instead they should work hard with their hands. Why? So that they don't have to steal anymore? No. So that they will have excess that they can share with others. You understand the will of God in our stuff, the will of God in our abilities, the will of God in our very lives is that this has been given to us by an incredible loving God who shows us what love looks like, that then we can in turn love in kind, and that that love can be expressed by sacrificing for the people and the family of God in which we find ourselves. And then that love can be further expressed by taking it to the world and showing the world love that they can't even imagine. Love that is without question, without end, without condition. We want to tell people that Jesus loves them. Sometimes the most important thing is to show them what love looks like. They may have never seen it. Every relationship that they've been in may have been conditional, may have been, you know, almost like, you know, if I do this, then I'll get this, that kind of a thing. You know, what if we love them without condition? What if we show them something radically different? And this is what God asks of us. So, how are we doing? Who loves God? Who loves God as best you can? Who is going to struggle to love God better? You know what I'm saying? And understand what I'm asking here is I'm not asking, you know, try harder when you think of it on a weekend when you got a little extra time. I'm talking about this is going to be life-changing. This is hard work. You guys actually have to dig in to this word of God. Think about how incredible that is. You know, that the God of creation took the time to write all that stuff down so that you could have it, right? So, okay, God of creation took the time to write it down so you could have it. You think it's worth reading? Do you think he meant it? Do you think it's important to him? I mean, not only did he write the stuff down, think about the fact that we have the book of Genesis. When was Genesis written? Well, that's kind of a complicated question, right? Because the thing is, it was written down by Moses, right? But where did the first stories come from? Creation. All right, so how long has God been working on the Bible? All right, and the fact that those, the tale of creation, that story of creation, that account of God's action in the world from the very beginning is in our hands today. How miraculous is that? How much effort do you think God put into that to make sure that happened? You think it's important to read? And the thing is this. If we are going to love God as he deserves to be loved, it means that we need to be in his word. All right? Now, the question, the great question that all the Sunday schoolers sing for years and years, oh, how I love Jesus, right? Now, there's the literal meaning of that question, and then there's the what that was in, the intended meaning, right? How do I love Jesus? Well, not very well. what's intended is how I love Jesus, and is like, how great is my love for Jesus, correct? But the important part of that song is not just the, oh, how I love Jesus, but what? The why do I love Jesus? Is that an important question too? Yeah, and why do we love Jesus according to the song? You know, the thing is, I told you before, what if we went out into the world and showed the world what love looked like because they may have never seen it before? Well, guess what God did? Jesus came into our earth, born a baby in Bethlehem, raised as a child, went into his ministry, serving, teaching, living with nothing, being born poor, lived poor his whole life, never had that much stuff, Definitely could have had a nicer house, you know. I guess he just kept his mansion in heaven and thought that was good enough. And he sacrificed all of that, knowing that he was going to, the reason that he was born was to suffer and die on the cross on behalf of us. And he gave it all. And for this, he shows his love. He showed us a love that we could not imagine, a love that we never could deserve, a love that is so far beyond our imagination. He gave us this love, and he lived out the love, and he's still doing it today. Before he went up into heaven, he told his disciples, "I will be with you." When? Always is hard. Parents, get it? I mean, you're always a parent, right? That's not always easy, because that means that, like, when the kid's car breaks down at 3 o'clock in the morning, we're in a neighborhood that they shouldn't have been at a time they shouldn't have been there. Guess who's going there? I mean, it's just part of the job, right? I mean, always is tough, but he promises to be with us always. During the great times, during the bad times, during the times when you're having a terrible crisis of faith, during a time when you're just standing there looking into the sky, unbelievably blessed by what an incredible God we have, all of those times, our God is there. He's stubborn, he's persistent, you can't shake him. He loves you in ways we can't imagine. And he invites us in to this love, because his love isn't still. His love isn't just static. It doesn't just exist. His love is an action. He is loving you currently right now in amazing ways. He is loving the people around us, and he wants to love even more. And we are the vessels of that love that get to go out into the world and slather the love of God all over the people that we come into contact with. It's going to get messy. You know, it won't be dignified. We won't always be able to, how can I say, I love the Singing in the Rain thing. You know, the dignity, always dignity. I don't know. Singing in the Rain, is that too old for people anymore? I don't know anymore. But the thing is this, is that it was just such a great line where, you know, they were always talking like dignity, always dignity, as if the red carpet, you know, persona was the way they always were. But they did all of these crazy, undignified things getting to the point. And the thing is this, serving God in the world, a lot of times my serving God in the world is grease up to my elbows. That's awesome. You know, serving God for youth in Asheville, North Carolina was digging septic systems by hand. But we didn't make the kids hook it up. That's a really nasty job because, you know, what a septic system does, right? All right. The acts of love that we're going to do are going to be interesting. God's going to challenge us with humility and challenge us with courage and challenge us with all kinds of things. But we have this. When we go out into the world, we know our love fails. We know his love does not. But as we go out into the world and serve as his people, serve as the ones that he has loved and he has sent, he goes with us. And you'll say, well, I'm not sure I can do it. Yeah. That's the point. You're going, and he'll do it. He will make it happen. He will make your effort enough. He does this kind of thing all the time. It's unbelievably humbling to serve him in the world, because at the end of the day, you'll realize it's not about me and all the stuff I'm bringing to this party. It's just me walking obediently out of love for God and love for my neighbor. And I don't know how this is going to work out. I'm not even sure I'm enough, but let's plow in, because the God who is in control of everything has sent me, and he will make it work. So let's get up and go. Look around you. Look for the people in need. Look for the people who need encouragement. Look for the people who need something fixed. Look for the people who need to be just listened to. Look for the people around you who are hurting and love them. For God's sake, love them. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for this incredible love that we have received from you and this love that we now get to carry into the world. Lord, I pray that you would make us bold ambassadors, Lord, of your love, that we would boldly share it, Lord. Even if we're going to get our hand bit occasionally as we try to take care of the people around us, Lord, even if we are not thanked, even if there's nobody ever notices or there's no reward given, Lord, we know, Lord, that you are the one who loves and the one who makes our love complete. Thank you, Jesus, for your great mercy. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
Profess together our shared faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Mighty and eternal God, into whose keeping we entrust our loved ones, we rejoice that you have rescued us from the power of death and raised us in Christ to dwell with him in everlasting life. Give to those who grieve the comfort that is found in the promise of the resurrection of the dead and eternal life. Help us to look to you in our time of sorrow, remembering the cloud of faithful witnesses with which we are surrounded. Grant that we may one day share in the joys of those who now rest in your presence. This day we especially remember Hazel Brandel, Jean Franzen, Kevin Nolan Gilbert, James Hulsman, Walter David Nipmeyer, Reverend Ronald H. Schutte, Harriet Williams, Phyllis Wynn, Don Horn, Anna Wentworth, William Sutton. We pray these things trusting in your mercy, thanking you for the time that we had with those that we loved, and giving glory to you for their faithful witness. O Lord our God, you have given us our emotions, passions, and joys. You have given us our body, our souls, our essence. You have given us our mind, our reasoning, our knowledge, our personality. You have given us our strength, our abilities. With all these, let us praise you and serve you. Help us to serve the ones you love. Help us to love the people you died for. Help us to forgive as you have forgiven us. Help us to love as you love. Open our eyes to see the people in need around us. Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering in body, mind, and soul. This day we especially pray for Bob Gales, for Alan, for Sophie, and for Wayne Sprick, and those that we name in our hearts. We pray that you would grant them strength. Help them to overcome what is ailing them. Lord, we ask for your help that we might trust you with our future. Our enemy, the devil, loves to create chaos and discord, strife, fear, and anxiety. He loves to displace you in our hearts as the entity that we fear, love, and trust in above all things. And so the temptation is there to fear for our future, to fear that if whomever we think should be the next leader of our country, if they don't become that, that all will be lost. But you are still God. You still have the whole world in your hands. You still have all of your creation. So, Lord, I pray that no matter what happens, we might remember these truths and turn to you. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it, in remembrance of me."
Seasons change, you see.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen.
There's no God like Jehovah.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite all the children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and meet Miss Lauren in the back there. I just want to mostly mention Bible studies. We have our ladies' Bible study that Denise Kasten is teaching that is covering the book Crazy Love that's still meeting in room 106 over in the school. And our general adult Bible class, we're going to be going over the book of Jonah. This week and next week, I'll be teaching that over in room 105, also in the school. Otherwise, I don't have anything else for you today, so go have fun. I mean, it's not great weather, but try to have fun today anyway. God's blessings to you, and yeah, hopefully you're well-rested after an extra hour.